And all of a sudden I'll tell Keith, I'll say, Keith, you know, what I found is that people don't necessarily buy based on price, but they do buy based on quality, comfort, and convenience. It's comfortable to drive a BMW. It's of high quality. It's not going to break down for you. And it's convenient to drive past your neighbor's house in the morning in a nicer car than he or she has. And now Keith will sit there and he'll go, huh, isn't that interesting? And he'll start to think like a leader. Now, every time he sees somebody driving a car that's not a Yugo or a Geo Metro, it'll trigger for him. It's kind of an anchor. And he'll start to, you know, eventually over time believe that people do not buy based on price. Now, he might not be entirely convinced. And I'll say, Keith, you know, the Houston Texans are playing Sunday. We're going to have it, you know, they're obviously broadcasting it. Why don't you come over to our house and we'll watch it? And he says, hey, that sounds like a plan. Keith shows up on Sunday and I'll say, shouldn't we get some food? He says, yeah, let's get some pizza. And I say, great. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the neighbor's house, and I want you to steal some tomatoes out of their yard, and I want you to go down to the rest, you know, to the store, and we're going to go buy some pizza dough and maybe some tomato paste, and we'll make our own pizza. And Keith's going to look at me and go, are you nuts? He's going to say, we're going to pick up the phone. We're going to call Papa John's or Domino's or Pizza Hut, and we're having the pizza delivered. And I'm going to look at Keith, and I'm going to say, is that the cheapest way to get a pizza? And he's going to say, no. I'm going to say, well, let's take a look at it. Obviously, they have to make the pizza. That means they have overhead at the store. They have employees. They have to put the pizza in a bag. They got to pay somebody to bring the pizza over here. They got to pay for gas. They got to drive it over here, knock on your door. That's obviously not the cheapest way to get a pizza. But it is comfortable. It's convenient. And it is of high quality. And all of a sudden, Keith will start to say, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not the price. And his thinking will have shifted from non-leadership thinking or distributor thinking to leadership thinking. And now every time he sees a Domino's pizza delivery car, or he sees a Pizza Hut or a Papa John's ad on television, it's going to trigger that training for him. And the last thing he might say, Art, you live in a pretty nice neighborhood, but you know what? In the poorer parts of town, I don't believe that people buy based on price. And once again, I might say, Keith, you might be right. I don't know. Let's find out. And Sunday morning, we can drive into those, you know, poorer parts of town. And what he'll probably see is outside of every third or fourth door, there'll be an empty pizza box from Pizza Hut or Papa John's or Domino's. And all of a sudden, it'll become very true for Keith that people don't buy based on price. And never again is he going to have that objection. He's going to have learned it to the core, and he's going to be very easily be able to impart that on his new distributors. And that's kind of, you know, one way to take a leader from think, you know, from a non-leader to a leader, to changing their thinking habits. And I think if you're going to develop a large income, it's very important for you to start considering what are some of the ways that maybe your distributors are thinking that isn't leadership thinking, and what are some of the ways that you can shift their thinking. Because once you shift enough people's thinking, you've developed leaders on your team, and your income is going to go up pretty significantly. So you asked about notification, and here's the leadership training on notification. You see, what leaders understand is that when you sponsor a new distributor onto your team, the best chance they have of success is if they actually go talk to their dreaded warm market. Now, I bring up the word warm market, and I bet many of you listening to this probably cringed, maybe even steered off the road if you're listening to this in your car. But the reality is that the warm market of your new distributor is in truly their best market. And if you ask somebody like Orion Sala or some of the top leaders in this industry, they're going to say this is true. Orion, for example, when he sponsors somebody brand new, they will attack their warm market. That's the first thing they'll do. If the distributor doesn't agree to that, they will not even sponsor them into their business. And you might say, well, why is that the case? Well, here's the reality, is when you join network marketing, you might see some people show up at an opportunity meeting, and 3 weeks later, they're at, you know, like three quarters of the way up the compensation plan. It seems like they had success overnight. And the reason that that happens is that some people have created a lot of relationships in their life prior to the moment that they join network marketing. There are a lot of people that like them, that trust them, that know them. So if a teacher's aide were to join your network marketing business and she's been a teacher's aide for 25 years, then when she joins, she's probably going to be able to talk to a lot of her friends, and they're going to say, hey, if it's good enough for Mary, it's good enough for me. She's got a strong center of influence with her warm market. If you sponsor a doctor, the same thing holds true. A doctor can go out to just about anybody he knows and say, you need to do this, and they're going to say, you know what? I trust you because, hey, you've performed surgery on me, and, well, there's no higher level of trust than that. And it's going to be easy for them to sponsor people into their business. When you're talking about your warm market, these are people that you've created relationships with. over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, or more years. These are people that you've created a trust with, a bond with. These are people that are probably going to listen to you if you present the business the correct way. And we'll talk about that right after this notification principle. What's a good way to, you know, to approach a warm market in a way that they'll actually respect what you're having, you know, what you have to share with them. But the warm market is either, you're going to either approach it or your distributor is going to have to start from scratch and they're going to have to create a new warm market. They're going to have to create a new list of prospects that knows them, likes them, and trusts them. And I promise you, it's easier to go into a warm market where you've already spent 10, 15 years creating no like and trust than it is to start from scratch and have to build a list of 100 people who will start to know you, like you, and trust you. That's going to take longer. Now, I'm not saying don't create, don't go into the cold market, don't go warm up the cold market. But for the brand new person, going into the warm market is absolutely, I think, critical to their immediate success. And so here's, how the notification principle works. If we sponsored, if I sponsored Keith into this business, and I was fortunate enough to do that, I'd sit down with Keith and I'd say, Keith, I bet you're pretty excited about getting involved in the business. And he's going to say, yeah, I'm real excited about being involved in the business. And I'll say, well, what we need to do is about, 2 days from now or so, we need to do a 24 or 48-hour game plan interview. All that means is we're going to do a little bit of an orientation. And Keith's going to say, hey, that sounds good. I'll say, okay, why don't we get together at your house on Sunday? And I go over to Keith's house, and he gives me some cookies and ice cream or whatever, some food he feeds me. And we sit there, and I say, okay, we need to, get started here. And Keith says, okay, I'm ready. And he grabs a pen and a paper. I say, all right, the first thing you need to know is you need to know here's the phone number of the company. So in case you have any questions about your orders or products or commissions, here's who you call. And here's the phone numbers of a few people in your upline because they have a vested interest in your success. And if you have any questions, you can either reach me or you can reach any one of them. They're here for you. And here's, the website. And here's how you order online. Here's how you order offline, some basics. And then I'm going to say, Keith, what we need to do next is we need to create the lifeblood of your business. And he's going to look at me. He's going to say, well, what is the lifeblood of my business? And I say, well, the lifeblood of your business is the list of people that we right now that we're going to go and approach about your new business. And Keith, all of a sudden, is just, his enthusiasm is pretty much just cut in half in most cases, because they're going to say, oh, no, I was afraid of that. I was afraid you were going to go ask me to talk to my friends. I mean, this is my worst, nightmare come true, and I'm not really sure about this. And I say, Keith, just work along with me. We can do this. And I say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through a simple, exercise called the memory jogger. And many of you are probably familiar with the memory jogger because you've had your sponsor or somebody do this with you. But I say, Keith, I want you to just have a blank piece of paper here, and I'm going to ask you questions. And as I ask you these questions, I want you to simply write down the names of people who you know that might, fit into the category of the question that I'm asking you. And Keith says, all right, I'll go along with this. Now, he's mentally already pretty much checked out, but he's going to be doing this with me anyway. And I'm going to ask him questions like this. I'm going to say, who do you know that has, blonde hair? Who do you know that has red hair? Who do you know that has no hair? Who do you know that drives a minivan? Who do you know that drives a sports car? Who do you know that drives a pickup truck? Good question in Texas, Who do you know that does your taxes? Who does your hair? Who cuts your lawn? Who do you take your car to get it repaired when it needs repairing? And then you might even go as far as asking, do you have your college yearbook handy? Who are you still in touch with in your college yearbook? And as I'm asking these questions of Keith, I'm expecting to have him write down at least 20, 30, 40, 50 names. There's somebody that once said in network marketing, the average person knows at least, 330 people. And I don't know if that's true or not, but here's what I find, is that when you do a memory jogger type exercise, I'm going to look at Keith's piece of paper, and unless he's, absolutely darn right excited about the business, instead of seeing 30 or 40 names, I might see two or three names. And I'm going to look at Keith, and I'm going to say, wow, I thought I sponsored a stud. But based upon your list, I think I sponsored a dud. And the problem lies in this, is that my excitement's gone. And Keith, who was really excited about this business to maybe create an extra weekly paycheck for his family and to get out of the financial hole that he's in, his excitement level has all of a sudden absolutely disappeared by simply asking him to make his warm list. So how do we fix this? How do we take I believe the memory jogger, that's really distributor thinking. That's not leadership thinking. And there's a way to really create a warm list by using leadership thinking, where your new distributor is actually looking forward to writing their list. And here's what you kind of need to consider is, just consider what's going through your distributor's mind when you're asking them to make this list. And what we found is that your distributor's sitting there, and in their mind they're thinking, you know what, I don't want to talk to anybody about this business until I earn my first bonus check. And that's a pretty valid, you know, thought. You know, if I have a bonus check, then I know this business works and I can show it to my friends. Or maybe you might say, you know, I'm not comfortable having you, my sponsor, talk to my friends about this business. I mean, I don't know you that well. I don't know if you're going to embarrass me or not. Or maybe they're thinking, hey, the more names that I put down on this list, the more rejection that I'm going to have to face. And, you know, I believe that that's the biggest problem. That's the one that's going to prevent them from writing any names down on that list. And ask yourself this, as you're listening to this CD, do you think that leaders like rejection? No. Even if you're earning a $10,000 or $100,000 monthly check, you still don't like rejection. You handle it well because it really, you know, doesn't affect your income as much anymore as when you first started. But nobody in their right mind enjoys rejection. And I don't believe in the sales techniques where they say, hey, you know, grow a thick skin and learn to love rejection. I don't think that goes with human nature, and I just personally don't buy into that kind of training. So here's what you might want to shift this particular exercise to. You might want to shift it over to saying, what if you didn't have to ask anybody on your list to join your network marketing business or even ask them to buy the product? Would not asking people to join or buy product be something that you're comfortable with?
That would be very easy.
It'd be easy, and it would be rejection proof. Now you might be thinking, you know, oh wow, I don't want to talk to my friends and my relatives, and this way I wouldn't, because they wouldn't understand. The distributor, in the back of their mind, here's something else that happens, especially in this day and age of the internet and of just lead generation all over the place, is they're thinking, I don't want to talk to anybody in my warm market. I'd rather talk to total strangers about this business. So, you know, Art, don't you have any like mailing campaigns or prospecting cards, or can I buy like nickel leads from somebody and just go talk to them? And here's the, I'm not saying don't use leads. I believe that there is a time and a place to start using leads, and once you learn the skills of how to talk to people that you're buying leads from, or at least talk to the leads. But in the beginning, here's what I can guarantee you, is that if your friends and the people that you know and your neighbors and your close relatives, if they don't like your presentation, then total strangers are going to like it a whole lot less. Because total strangers can be mean. They have no vested interest in you. They don't know you. They don't like you. They don't trust you. And they can be pretty mean on the phone. So if you're going to send your brand new distributor to start go talking to strangers and they don't even know how to present the business yet, you're really setting them up for some painful situations. So ask yourself this, you know, how can we get your distributor to actually want to make the list? And here's what we understand. If your distributor's thinking about talking to strangers instead of talking to the warm market, here's some of the issues subconsciously that might be going on for your distributor. They're probably thinking, I don't quite believe in me yet. I mean, everything that I've done up until this point in my life has not generated a six-figure yearly income for me. So what makes me think that this business will? Or they're thinking, I don't believe in this opportunity. I mean, I just joined. I barely remember what the name of the company is. Or you're thinking, you know, they're thinking, I don't believe in the product. You know, I hear that it's great, and I've been on it for a week, but you know what? That's not long enough for me to believe in it. So I'd rather talk to strangers than my friends. Or I'm too ashamed to talk to my friends. I'm too ashamed to admit to them that, you know, for the last 20 years, what I've been doing financially hasn't worked, and I'm in debt. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm worried what my friends are going to think about me. I'm worried that they're not going to join, and if they don't join, I'm going to feel rejected. Or maybe the distributor's thinking, what if the program fails? I don't want my friends to even know that I tried. Or worse yet, maybe they're thinking, you know, what if I fail? And that's a big one. They're thinking, if I fail, what are the chances that, you know, my friends are ever going to respect me again? So if I don't tell them about this and I do fail, hey, no big loss. Now, here's the question you want to ask yourself, is if we decide to keep your opportunity a secret from your friends and family, is that fair to them? And the answer obviously has to be a resounding no. I mean, I would have to assume that 90% of the friends and family of a particular distributor that joins this business are also looking for a way to create an extra monthly or weekly paycheck. That would be great for them. So it's absolutely, you have no right to keep it a secret from them. So here's what we recommend that the new distributor does. Before they read the distributor manual, or before they start proving, improving their presentation skills, or before they start working on themselves and their self-image, or talking about mailing lists and lead generation and ads, before they do any of that stuff, which is all important, but before they do all that, we tell them simply this. I'd say, Keith, now that you've joined, you have one obligation. And that really puts the distributor at ease. They go, I only have one thing that I need to do. Now, before I tell Keith what his obligation is, here's what I do share with him. I say, Keith, as a network marketer or as a distributor in our company, we have one job. And that job is to simply educate other people about the products and services that we represent and to educate them about the possibility of earning an extra weekly paycheck, a residual recurring extra paycheck.